everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord our God, and He loves us. His love is so tremendous towards us. And our God thinks of everything. You know, the Lord knew how men would respond to every aspect of salvation. And He perfectly hid and concealed the plan of salvation from mankind. He gave the generations bits and pieces along the way. He gave, and each bit and each piece that He gave man was a promise of hope. It gave man hope, something to look forward to, reasons to trust God. In the beginning of Adam's way, all the people in Adam's era of time knew. They knew that they had sinned because it was evident that they died. They weren't clothed in the glory anymore that they heard about. And all the wonderful things they saw, as good as the earth was, they knew the story of what happened. And they knew about the seed of woman. And that was their only promise and hope of redemption. Now, I don't know how many people knew about it, but Adam knew about it. And all of his people, I'm sure he told them about the seed of woman. And they had to deal with the fact that God didn't destroy man. Many times people say, why didn't God just do away with man and start over? He didn't do that. He kept covenant. And He sent the seed of woman. And with that, every aspect of salvation had to happen. The Ark of Noah to save the then-known world in the first place. And after that, they had those stories, and they had a lot to talk about. And then when Father Abraham came along, that's when you really see God keeping a secret. Nobody knew about the covenant God made with Abraham, and his descendants did. They didn't always act like they believed it, but He told them, and they knew. They didn't know the full mystery of what was going on and how important they were to the kingdom of God and the redemption of all humanity. But as they got on board at different times in their lives, you know, Jacob's sons tried to kill Joseph. The enemy thought Joseph was the seed of woman. And his brothers were so angry and jealous against him that they envied him so bad that they couldn't say nothing good about him and desired to kill him. And then Reuben said, let's just put him in a pit. And he was going to go back and rescue him. But before he could get back, they sold him into slavery. And I think that was Judah's idea. But anyway, they didn't all seem like the most upstanding citizens at that time of the day, in their day. But they made it. Eventually, they got on board. Just like we do. There are times in our lives that we're not on board with God. That we run our own course. We walk our own way. We take our own direction. We follow our own wisdom. And it leads us nowhere. And then when we hear about Jesus Christ, we finally have hope that there can be something good coming out of our lives. And we get on board with God. Just like they got on board at different times in their lives, we get on board with God at different times in our lives. We find out that we know that salvation is offered to us. And in due time, we get on board with salvation. Thank God for salvation. But then, along the way, we need to grow in the Lord. And as we grow, there are times we're more motivated to grow than other times. People do things at different stages of their lives, and the Lord has to work with us and help us out. He does love us, and He cares about us. He does everything possible to work with us on our behalf. Now, this is the key thing. Once we know better, we get to a point we can run with the Lord. We can do His wisdom. We can operate according to His wisdom. And the more we trust Him, the better off we are. And to help us out, He gave us authority over the enemy. He gave us the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He gave us the counsel of His written word. And every year, the Word of God is the bestseller of all times. Because the Lord gave, He made His word available. And He made Himself available to help us do all the things that we should do in life. And once we get to the point where we have a mind to obey God, then the Lord can work with us and train us and prepare us for His works. Now, you have several things happening at one time. There are people who they finally get saved, and then when the Lord called them to the ministry, when they think of going into ministry, they do it the traditional way. They go to school, and they get trained, and they may work with a church for a while, and then they start their own ministry. And many ministries start out traditionally. And traditions can be good, and they can also be a hindrance. The thing about traditions is they offer a guideline, a source of comfort. But there are many times the Lord wants to move beyond the structures of mankind. He thought of everything. And He thinks of everything. He knows what He's doing. And you can sincerely take Him at His word. It's going to be good. The more we take Him at His word, the more we see Him move in our lives, the better off we are. And God wants to do the greater works in the course of our lives. And He wants to help us do all the necessary things, because He don't just send us out into a field. He sends us to people in the field. Real people with their own needs. And there are people that you can really truly be a blessing to. There's an audience out there that will definitely be happy to hear you minister the Word of God. They will listen to you. And the Lord will prepare you for them. And the way He structures your ministry is what they'll be attracted to. That's why we have to learn to go beyond the confines of traditions. Traditions are wonderful. They're based on what happened in the first place. But along the way, there's a thing called warfare. And some traditions have started because of the negative, not the positive. Within the warfare, we have several things going on at one time. The Lord sowed wheat in the field. The enemy is afraid of the wheat that was sown in the field. And he sowed tares in the field. And tares, their base is identical to Satan's base. They're motivated the same way that Lucifer was motivated when he fell. They want attention. They want to be the best. They want to be the big shot. They want to be the one in charge. They want to be the one shouting orders. They want to be the one that people look to. They want to receive the most. They want to be blessed. They want to be rich. They want to be the best looking. And many people, those desires in and of themselves can be false. Most people desire good things toward them. But the heart of God's will wants to be effective. And I like to draw the line, what's effective? Which way can I minister the most effective? What will work? What won't? Let's get rid of what won't work. And let's stick to the true motives of the Lord. My desire to be wealthy is so that I can be a blessing to the people. You know, it was stated, one of the prophets said, no, yeah, it was Elisha or Elijah. He says, this is a time, it was Elisha, I'm sorry. This is not the time to receive houses and lands. That's what he told Gehazi when he stole, when he went out to the Syrian soldier that had leprosy. And he took some of his gifts, and then he ended up with leprosy. But the prophet said, this is not a time to be receiving houses and land and riches and things like that, because the nation was in a crisis. The king was Ahab. The queen was Jezebel. They were evil, and they were trying to push Baal worship so that the women could offer their children to Baal. And this was a time of crisis when people really needed to be focused on doing God's work. And here we are in the end times, where the world, we can see what the Lord was talking about form. We can see the way the enemy tries to hinder the progress of God's people. And so within the warfare side, the tares are sown, and they teach, and they have influence, and they love prestige, they love position, they love preeminence, and they always will, and they run their course. And everything that's not nailed down, I put it this way, every heart that's not structured in the Lord, every heart that has no roots, and people who keep running after the cares of this world, everything that's not tied to the Lord will be deceived and pulled into the vacuum of the world. Remember, the enemy's words are infectious. God's word are not, they're not infectious. You have to decide to be a Christian. You have to decide to grow in the Lord. You have to decide to win your warfare fight. You have to decide to conquer your battles. You have to decide to operate and be that more than a conqueror that God made. You have to decide to follow through with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you do anything. I've heard people say that. He'll make you strong. He doesn't make you strong. He helps you. He guides you in life. The Word of God gives you strength, and you have to receive it. The preacher preaches hard out every week. Some people receive strength from the word and they mix faith with it and they go on forward in their lives. And some people, they're so hungry, they should have ate breakfast before they went to church, because their mind is on food and they want to get to the restaurant and they're not listening to the words that are spoken. A little wisdom will solve the problem. They sit there in church and they're hungry and they don't pay attention. It's better to eat and have a satisfied stomach and listen to the word of God than to fast and go to church. And they're not fasting because they're in a state of fasting. Most of the time they just didn't make anything to eat. They slept as long as they could and rolled out of bed and went to church hungry. Sometimes, but when you go, Benny Hinn said this. He said, when you pray and you get into the Lord's presence, he said, eat something before you do all that. He said, a lot of times people are distracted because they get hungry. He said, just eat you a sandwich and then go and pray and get in God's presence so you can pay attention. It's worth it to hear from the Lord. Common sense is golden, but you have to use it. Everything about Christianity, you have to work it. It's not, there's nothing automatic about it. We don't automatically get saved, so we don't automatically stay saved. We don't automatically do God's will, because He loves us. Angels, if we could see the battles that angels fight to protect our lives, we'd probably take our life a lot more serious than we do. and we wouldn't be so foolish in our actions. We spend our money with more wisdom and more cautiously. And I don't mean cautious as in fearful. I mean we would be witty about how we handle our money, our finances. We would be more witty about how we take care of the things that we take time to earn. You know, years ago I had this website called Be Savvy Auto Tips. And as a mechanic, I learned what to do to make a car last a long time. So I made it into a website. And these are not things that the common person would know. Even people who read their manuals would know. But coming from a man who put cars back together for people and repair what people destroy, I saw a pattern in what goes bad and why cars go lose their value. And they're not safe to drive out of town. So I put all this information into a website. And it had something about every aspect of the car. It had engine tips, transmission tips, charging system tips, starting system tips, electrical, the whole nine, cooling system tips, things that protect your engine and your transmission and even the body of the car. And I put this into a website. And I told all my friends about it, my family members. I told them to download it. And my sister gave me the idea, you know, she said, if everybody who downloaded it gives you a dollar, you know, you could make a lot of money on it. I said, you know, I wanted to be a blessing to people, too. That's the main thing. I just wanted to be a blessing to people. And I didn't know how to situate the website where people could pay a dollar for it. So I just put it on there, and I just left information so they could send me a dollar if they wanted to. And that's how I ended up doing it. Well, even free, when people could just go on there and get it free, there was very few people that went on the site and used it. Very few. I didn't have many hits at all. And I didn't put a counter on it. That website had a counter on it. And I was paying for the website, but I wasn't getting any hits. And so I never really advertised like I wanted to. I advertised on the radio. But most people did not go on there and get some information that would have saved them thousands of dollars. Most of the times that I rebuilt engines and put heads on cars, it was because of things like thermostats, water pumps, a $12 or $20 busted hose, a belt that broke. And they didn't know to not drive the car with it running hot. So then I'd have to stop what I'm doing, because it takes a lot of work to change a head or engine or rebuild one. And it costs a lot of money, and I can't save them money to do that. They're just going to have to pay the cost. Even if they don't have it, they have to come up with it, or I won't work on it. Because it takes a long time and too much effort. I can't starve my family to fix somebody's car, because they don't have money. And so it costs. It's expensive. And it's just like it's expensive for them to pay me, it's expensive for me to do it. It takes a lot of my time. And I've lost vacation time, weekend time that I want to be with my family, trying to get a car back so they can stop renting a car or whatever. So I was motivated to show people how to save money, but they didn't put the effort to learn these things. All right, if you're going to follow God, you have to put forth effort. God is not going to make you do his work. He's going to reward you for putting forth the effort in finishing his work. But there's so much joy in it, I don't even consider the rewards. I'm so happy with the joy from obeying God, knowing that I can be a blessing to people by just living a life of obedience. And all the things, all the assignments God gave me, I thoroughly enjoy them. And I love to ride motorcycles. I'm not a lazy person. I'm an active person. Everything with God, nothing's automatic. Everything, you have to put effort to go forward. And I'm just saying it's worth it. I've done a lot of things. I love to ride motorcycles. I love to swim. I love to play baseball. Actually play it more than watch it. But I don't, because you have to get 9 more people, well, 18 people to do it. But I like to do, I like to go fishing. And I like to go to parks. I like to do things. But out of all the wonderful things that's fun to do to me, nothing is more joyous than ministering God's word. And I thank God for every opportunity to minister his word. It's not work to me. And even when I pray and go in God's presence, that's not work to me. That's a privilege. That's what I want to do. When Jesus got through with his job, going out ministering to people, teaching them the word of God, he didn't go swimming. It never said he went swimming or fishing. He went to the Lord's presence and enjoyed talking to the Lord and learning from the Holy Spirit. I do too. It's a blessing. But nothing of God is automatic. Now, with the devil, he comes to you with foolishness. He'll give you his thoughts of temptation, trying to derail you from the active works of God. He tried to get you just as complacent as the world. See, in the spectrum of, in the sphere of tradition, the foundations of tradition, some of them are good and some of them are satanic. Healing is of God. That's foundational. The doctrine that says that God heals sometime, God doesn't always heal, God decides who to heal, all that is not of God. God healed any, Jesus healed anybody that believed him for it. So the problem, you know, God is foundational. Good teaching would prepare people to believe God when they get sick. And not just wait till they get sick, but believe, start reading the scriptures while they're healthy. So that if they got sick or when they get sick, they can believe God for their healing.
Taking it's always to easier to learn when things are going well. The Lord taught me that. He said a lot of times people try to learn when they're in a crisis. But in a crisis, your attention is divided. You're in fight mode. You're in survival mode. It's good to be in fight mode, but you're in survival mode. But the best training comes when things are going well. And I learned to take, when things are going my way, I continue to seek God. And I ask him my questions. I know
to see what he was
how
saying.
How to avoid the ditch I
to
got
to get
in.
To the root problem of it all. See, when you get to the root problem and kill that one, then you don't have to worry about that anymore. You'll know what to do. You'll know how to organize your life. Now, when it comes to the things of God, nothing's automatic. It's our responsibility to learn all these principles and practice them throughout our lives. The problems you read about that other people had in the Word of God, you may not be going through it now, but when you see what can happen and you're endeavoring to do things God's way, you know that the enemy did them this way or a certain way, and you know what to do. You know what God had them to do, and you're able to handle it by your faith. Faith is always going to be part of the answer. Whatever you have to do to get to the next step, it's going to require your faith. You believe in God's word, what he said, having faith and confidence in what he says. That's the arena that the enemy is always trying to get us out of. If he can get us into the frustrated world, the angry world, the lustful world, the greedy world, he can do damage in our lives. If he can take us away from the peace of God, get us into his misery. See, the world is a miserable place. And people fight to stay there because they don't know any better. They have never entered into the rest of God, and they can't even, there's nothing in the world that can show you what it's like. And that's what the enemy tried to get you on his territory so that he can ravage your life. That's where you're out of bounds. You know, in any basketball game, football game, they try to get you out of bounds. That gives the other side an advantage.